Hallelujah. Good morning, church. We can go home now. I feel whole. I'm serious. It's so powerful. Worship, communion message. What else do you need to be made whole? Jesus said to the crippled man, he says, you want to be made whole. And those who make the choice to come and be made whole are the ones that trust his spirit to do the job. Amen? You know, I want to say something to you before I bring this message. Jesus never died in a private hotel room. Jesus didn't die in a members-only club. He didn't die in some confirmed space out of public. He died in public, in a public road. And the Bible says he was naked. Naked. The artist paints him to bring reverence and respect with the loincloth him. But he was naked. Died naked on the road, public road. What gives us the right to do things in private? What gives us the right to go and ask God in our own private area? Coming before God in public is the most powerful thing that you can do, because it shows your humility and it shows your reliance on God, that not you cannot do this except the power of the Spirit that can change you. That's the reason of an altar call. That's the reason why we call you to come out. Not because we want to make a public spectacle of you, but because you yourself have a relationship with Jesus and understand the principles that he died in public so that you can come in public, that you can walk in public, that you can have this lifestyle that people can see in public and say, yeah. See, your works is nothing unless your character compares and works with your works. Works is nothing until the character is set in place properly. Pastors, leaders, listen to me. Your works is nothing. Doing the work of God in ministry is nothing until your character aligns with the word of God and aligns with the character of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why this church must stay on the place of truth. That's why I haven't changed from you. May you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Hallelujah. And I will not change until we see the changes inside the church. I said to the music team, I said, the people in this church are here because God wants them to hear this message. You are here because this message is for you. You are here because you're supposed to hear this message. Hallelujah. People say, oh, before these people. No. That's for you. The people that's supposed to hear this message and the message from this pulpit are here in this building. So take this really seriously now, because we are in a place now that we're going to see some really amazing changes that are happening. It's already happening, but the church is going to be in the midst of all that. See, the truth of God is challenged. I saw something that was in the coffee shop the other day when I took Mama Alice for coffee, and it says truth must always be challenged. Praise the Lord. I said, yeah, this book, this kingdom that you're in today has been challenged from the day of the apostles, from the day of Jesus to this day. And this kingdom still stands in you. The truth that is in the kingdom of God still lives in you. That truth has not been destroyed. They tried to destroy it. It has been challenged. It has stood the test of time. And the Bible says, this will pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but this word will last forever. That's the truth. Where do you build your foundation of truth from? If you get not truth until you get it from here. Hallelujah. I was challenged by that. And I said, Holy Spirit, I will continue to bring truth. See, the Bible says you don't have to know about the Word of God too much, but learn from the Spirit. You don't have to go to Bible college to understand those things. The Spirit of God will teach you if you are willing to learn and if you submit yourself to Him to learn. That's the key. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for your word this morning, and I pray for your people. And I thank you that we are here to hear truth. We are here because you want to speak to us. And I pray as I've always prayed, hide me. Hide me, O God. I don't show my accolades because I don't have any. I don't show my pastor's credentials because I don't have any. It is just a piece of paper. But the Holy Spirit, you are the power. When you spoke, you said, it is not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. It is not by might, which our knowledge, our Bible college graduate degrees, which we have none, hallelujah, but it's by the power of the Spirit. And the people here this morning are the same. They're here because they want to receive truth. And Father, I pray for this church. I pray for each and every family in this church that whatever we receive today will be revealed in the test of time when persecution comes. When the storm comes, what we receive from you, the foundation that we build, oh God, that is you, Christ Jesus, will stand the test of time. Hallelujah. Because we know the truth will be challenged. It has already been, it has been challenged, but it has not failed because you are the truth. Father, I pray and I bring this word before you this morning. In Yeshua's mighty name, I pray. All God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. Are you happy to be here this morning? Hallelujah. I am. I'm always happy to come here because it's fellowship for me. It's a great time to bring the word of God, but also to fellowship with you, fellowship with one another. What part are we on this now? Part 9, Jen? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Part 9. And it's still going. The character of Christ Jesus in us. That's why I spoke what I said this morning. Your character must match your work. Your works, actually, must match your character. If it doesn't match your character, don't go and do anything. Yes. Hallelujah. Don't bring people to a place where you're not in. Hallelujah. And that's very true. We must rely on the Holy Spirit first to change us. Because most of us want to go out and change the world. But we don't want to change ourselves first. First, we have to work within. Because within, when we change inside, then the river and the well and the Spirit of truth will always have power. Hallelujah. I want to start with this verse in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. It's a powerful scripture. Paul wrote to his spiritual son, Timothy, and he says, "But if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth." Ooh, hallelujah. The church has to be the pillar and the ground of truth. The world needs to find truth in the church. There is nowhere else where you can find truth except inside the church. That's why Timothy says, Paul says, "If I'm delayed, I write to you so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth." Hallelujah. Now, most of us always prefer the mountaintop experience. Hello, somebody. Most of us love to, we prefer the high-powered stuff. We like the mountaintop experience. We don't like the valley experience because the valley is a bit tough down there. We like the mountaintop experience because we think that it is where the Spirit would empower us. I'm going to bring you some powerful principles that Jesus is showing us today. But let me tell you this. If you are seeking after the Spirit of truth, it is found in the valley. That you find that you're looking for, not on top of a mountaintop, but in the valley. Hallelujah. That's where Jesus is. Jesus knew that he required the Spirit in perfect fullness in order to accomplish all that was set before him. The humility of Jesus is something else. Hallelujah. He knew that the way of the Lord prepared for him was John's baptism and the humility that it signifies. John's baptism to Jesus was full of humility because John looked at Jesus and says, "You're supposed to be baptizing me." Jesus says, "No, you baptize me. I'm here because I have to fulfill something." Hallelujah. It signifies humility. Jesus spoke with Elijah himself on top of the mountain. Remember the Mount of the Transfiguration? John was the Elijah in the valley. Hallelujah. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 14, he says, "If you are willing to receive it," he said to Elijah, "he is Elijah who is to come." Hallelujah. If you have an unquenchable longing to see the Lord's way prepared in your life, my friends, if you desire truth in the innermost parts, if you decide to stand before Pilate of this age as living expressions of truth, then John the Baptist is your Elijah. That's why I said this is humility before men. Hallelujah. We must walk in humility all the time. Pastors, you need to come and bow before God in this place, before your people. Your title doesn't mean nothing. This is a place of humility. All of us. All of us. Hallelujah. I mean that, and I really mean that with my heart. There has to be no pride whatsoever in this church. It has to be from God. We pastors and leaders, every time we put a title on our name, we think, yes, I'm somebody now. Hello, somebody. We need to lead by example in this church. That's why Jesus said, you want to find me? You find me inside the valley. You want to find the Holy Spirit? The experience is not in the mountaintop. You come down before man and before God. All of us, that's including the people. If we lead by example, the people know that you are a person of truth. Hallelujah. It is a challenge for us, all of us, me included. Every time I stand before you to bring the word, God reminds me of every word I speak. Even if I have a normal conversation with somebody, the Spirit of God is constantly on my case and saying to me, if it is not right, back up and say it again. That's normal conversation, not preaching, just having a conversation, telling a story. If it's not right, back up and tell it again. Because you might be starting to cross over into the spirit of lies. Just from your normal conversation. What makes you think that if you can have a normal conversation of lies, you are able to come stand and preach the word of God? That's a cleanup process that God is doing inside first in me, all our pastors, our people, and the church. Hallelujah. God knew that the only way that Jesus could show humility is going down to the valley. And John the Baptist was his Elijah. Those who desire less than the Spirit without measure will not perceive that John is their Elijah. Or lowly Jordan Valley as the place he must be found. Most of us like to find the fireplace. Places high where we can go there. But we forget the humility and the humbleness of what the valley represents. The sinless Son of God had to begin in a lonely valley under John's baptism. To begin, we must all begin in the valley. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, begin in the valley. Tell him. And please, say amen. Don't go quiet on me and say, I'm throwing rocks at you. I'm not here to pull anybody down or destroy anybody. I'm here to give you the truth and the foundation principles of what Jesus does so that we, our character, aligns with him. Hallelujah. Because from that, you will sit down in another church, listen to the message and says, give me something more with some bones in it. You have not seen anything yet until you leave to go somewhere else. You'll be sitting going, what are they talking about? It took me 10 years to find a church that's truly preaching the truth. Those who desire that. John attracted some large crowds. Many came out from Jerusalem to see him. Some were just merely curious. Some were just gathering notes for a seminary research paper on repentance. Somebody. Or for their next sermon on Sunday. Most of those people came for a reason. What are you here this morning for? Why is the reason why you come to church? Are you here to take some notes for your other preaching sermon somewhere? Or you're doing Bible college and you want to take some notes for your seminary Bible college graduate certificates? John attracted many people. Hallelujah. But the ones who were looking for truth were the ones who came, left everything false behind, and walked into the water to get baptized. Those were the ones who were looking for truth. The kind of repentance is the fruit and the sign of a longing after truth. We must be hungry for truth. What are you here for this morning? Are you here because it's just a ritual habit for you, like Papa Joe said today? Are you taking communion because it's just ritual for you? Have you understood the principles and the foundation of what communion is? What are you here this morning for? That's the question we must all ask ourselves. Are you here to find truth and to walk in truth and to fellowship with one another and grow inside the things of God? Or are you just here because it's a nice church? Let me tell you, we are not a nice church. I will say this again, and I will say it again. We are not a nice church. I want this church not to be nice. I want it to be right. I want it to be right in everything. Everything we do. Our character has to align with everything we say. Everything we preach. Hallelujah. Such longing after the truth and such hatred of all forms of lie is the stirring of character of the Son of God in us. Jesus hates everything that is not of God, and he spoke against it every time. It is upon that character alone that the dove from heaven, hallelujah, descends, and not only descends but abides inside somebody who has the Spirit of God. It recognizes an identity, a character of Christ. We mistake everything about God, saying we can just go and do everything and the Spirit will agree with us. Hello, somebody. We can do everything because we have the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. The dove came on Jesus and abide in Jesus. Nowhere in the world, anywhere in the history of mankind, as the Spirit came and became one with a body. Hallelujah. Upon such character and in such humble place, the Spirit came down in his fullness and expressed not just the attributes and the gifts, but his every nature and essence, which is truth. Hallelujah. The dove recognized a true repentant heart. A dove recognized the humility, which is the character of Jesus. That's what the Spirit recognized. The Spirit will not operate on something that is not of God. You have to understand that. That's the problem. We don't see power inside the church because we love to walk and say, oh, God's going to forgive me. God's going to forgive me. I can go and do this and he still forgive me. Of course he will still forgive you. But that's it. We're going to be chasing our tails inside the church, never seeing true power and manifestation of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The dove is the Spirit that recognizes the character of Jesus. Matthew chapter 3 verse 16 says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. Ooh, hallelujah. Matthew chapter 3 verse 17 says, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father chose this moment to declare his pleasure, his expression of pleasure. And his expression of pleasure did not come because of anything that Jesus did. Listening to me very carefully. The Father didn't agree and say and express his love for Jesus because of what he did. Because Jesus' ministry hasn't even started yet. He was just going into the water to get baptized. The Father recognized the character and said, this is my Son, who I'm well pleased. How did your fathers go on Father's Day message last Sunday? There was a lot of quietness inside the church. I could hear the pin drop. The Father knew his Son's character. And so he was pleased on that alone, not the works. Hallelujah. The Father chose this moment. Jesus had not yet come out and do anything or begin his ministry. Like John's greatest joy is to see his children walking in truth. The Father's pleasure was, and it still is, in his Son's character, in what he is, above and before what he does. Hallelujah. God reserved his Spirit and his audible voice of approval for the moment of Jesus' baptism. And he reserved the revelation of his Son's identity to John for a moment as well. For a moment, John didn't recognize Jesus. Jesus' identity was so bound up in the Spirit of truth that John was not permitted to recognize him by anything. Hallelujah. Could you imagine that? John and Jesus are cousins. Their parents are cousins. But God did not allow John to see the natural Jesus. God showed John God, the Messiah. Hallelujah. He didn't show Jesus, just saw John, that little kid that they used to share toys with. That's why John says, I didn't know who he was until I baptized him. And John saw the dove come down. Hallelujah. John chapter 1 verse 31. It says, I did not know him, that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And he's the one that's going to baptize with the fire. John chapter 1 verse 33 says, I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, not just descending. A lot of us like to have the Spirit descending, but not remaining. We got to remember the difference. It says, for whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. John chapter 1, verse 34. And I have seen the test and testified that this is the Son of God. You know, when I was driving this morning, I said, God, I have to go and speak to the people again. God says, go and do the best you can. Do it all your might, all your power. Do it. Speak from here. He says, the power of change comes from me. I'm the one that will make the change, not you. Hallelujah. He says, go and do the best. Give it all your best. That's why you see me on Sunday. I give it my best. Because I know change doesn't come from me. It comes from God. Sometimes when I'm preparing the word, God says, say it. Yeah, say it. He doesn't say, I dare you to say it. He says, say it. Say the truth. Hallelujah. So I believe, and then I started to confess this scripture, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. And I'm praying over my children as I'm driving to church, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus and John were cousins. Their mothers were cousins, yet nothing natural in itself counted as a sign of who Jesus was. Being a close relation was no help to John. Hallelujah. Nor did God designate any miraculous works as signs of who Jesus was. Wow. The works later confirmed that only character could. Pastors, leaders, I said before, changes has to be aligned. Your character has to be aligned with what you do. Your works has to be aligned with what you speak. Not just pastors and leaders, everybody. Mothers and fathers. Your word and your works. If it doesn't align with your character, don't say anything because you're going to upset your children. Hallelujah. Because they're watching you. People are watching us. The world is watching us. Skeptics are watching us. Unbelievers are watching us. Atheists are watching us. Watching us to fail. They're watching us. And they've seen many fail because many haven't really, truly grasped the truth of the living God. It was the coming down and the abiding of the Spirit that constituted God's chosen sign to John that Jesus was the expected Messiah. What John saw was the Spirit descend and abide with the human flesh. He saw the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, so at one with man's character that he could remain and reside with him. We trust the Holy Ghost inside of us. When you came for prayer, my prayer is always this, God, this is the vessel of the Holy Spirit. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is where you live and dwell. This temple needs some help right now. That's your simplest prayer you can pray to God. God, this temple needs some help. Because the Holy Ghost needs that temple to operate and function on this earth. Hallelujah. That's why I pray simple prayers like that. Because you understand the principle. Hallelujah. The cowardly and the unbelieving are spoken of in one breath because at the heart of cowardice is a refusal to believe and trust God who calls us to walk in truth. Truth is the only atmosphere in which faith and sanity of your mind can thrive and which true comfort can be found. We cannot find comfort or sanity anywhere except in the truth of the Word of God. Hallelujah. God never hides the fact that truth at times can be painful. Truth hurts. Amen? It has to hurt you first. You know why it hurts you? Because it's hurting your pride. There's pride that truth needs to get to first. And if the truth can get through the pride and hurt you and you're humble enough to say, yeah, there's something wrong with me, I need to get this out of my life, then the truth will work inside your life. But first, it is painful. God gives us every reason to love and trust him. If I hesitate and withhold my trust, I'm implying or I'm telling God that it is necessary to pretend in order to survive. We can't pretend in church just to survive. If there is a problem, Tell the truth. I tell the music team all the time, tell the truth. When I talk to people, I say, tell the truth. Hallelujah. So we can't pretend in order to survive inside the church. I'm, like I said before, I'm trusting God right now for him to change you. That's the way I see it. That's the way I'm going to give it all my best to bring the word of God to you and trust in God to change your life. Hallelujah. You know why? Because I'm starting to see something happening inside this church. Hallelujah. There is a great testimony, and I'll let that person give you his testimony later. But at prayer meeting after prayer meeting, it was for the first time in my life, I felt like we are getting somewhere. We're going to go somewhere now. We are moving somewhere where we haven't moved before. Hallelujah. And it's not because of something really big. It's just because of something really significant that happened in prayer meeting yesterday. And if you're not in prayer meeting, you missed out. That's why prayer meetings are really important. Jesus is cleaning his people to form a church of faithful, committed, and dedicated believers who no longer consciously practice sin. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil. This is not talking about translating into God's kingdom. It is describing the spiritual condition of God's true followers. On earth, we are still on earth. God is saying, deal with these things while you're here on earth, because heaven doesn't have that. God doesn't continually telling you to change when you're inside the kingdom, because there's no sin inside the kingdom. But whilst we're here on this earth, God keeps saying, clean yourselves up. Get ourselves clean every day. Once saved and always saved doesn't cut it inside the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The water in which the true and faithful saints are cleansed is the word of God. That's why I trust this word to change you. And you trust to receive this word and get changed. Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 to 27. The Bible says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Hallelujah. Not just keep them, but do them. With the Spirit of Christ and the Word of God written upon our hearts, there is a molding of character after the likeness of Jesus. Same principle is true of heart that dwells on vile and corrupt things. Vice versa. If you live on the things of the devil, you will act and speak like the devil. But if you walk in the place of the principles of God, you will become like the character of Jesus. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, oh hallelujah, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I love that scripture. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. There is something about forgiveness when you do it. There's this freedom that comes from continually walking in forgiveness towards each other. Before taking communion, all these little things show that you are desiring to be walking in holiness and righteousness before God. Because God's command to his people is to walk holy and blameless before him. Nothing else. Not to go and start up a ministry and build a church. He says, go and walk holy before me first. That's the first priority that we do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All that, including your ministry, your church, whatever you want to do, business, work, all that's going to be added unto you when you first seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Hallelujah. Principle is a powerful thing. It is a direct assurance from God that he will impart all the power necessary to apply the decisions of our own will. I said God uses our will to fulfill his will. Remember that? The decision not to sin, the failure to gain the victory over self, lies in our own will, our own willpower. We have the power, hallelujah, to do right or wrong, to choose from right or wrong. We have it. The devil has no power over you. Let me just say that again. The devil has no power over you unless you give him that power. Unless you open up your life to something that he came in. Unless you're carrying something that belongs to him. And you can stand before God and God says, sorry, you've got something that doesn't belong to me. Get rid of it. God is willing to make us whole if we are willing to confess and release and bring something that doesn't belong to him. Release it so that he can change us. If we truly seek him, conscious of our inability and in spite of our own sin, desiring, this is the word, desiring to be free, he will give us the power. We have the choice. The reason why we don't walk in power is because we don't want it. We're quite comfortable with everything we have right now. We don't realize that this country is such a lucky country. Most of us here are so lucky. I shouldn't say lucky. We're so blessed in this country. But what happens if it's removed from us? Are we still going to follow Christ? Are we still going to believe in his word? I urge you to believe his word right now when you're still on a blessing. I urge you. Start to believe his word and walk and apply it as a kingdom principle in your life whilst you're being blessed by this country, blessed by this nation. Hallelujah. We're here for one reason only. That is to establish his kingdom in this place. God didn't bring us from all these faraway countries to come and be safe or just be happy or have a good job. I've seen Papua New Guineans on fire for God in PNG. Come here, devil, cold water. Whoosh. Papua New Guineans I've served with, preaching the word of God, on fire for God. Turn up in Australia. Devil says, come here. See, Isaiah, God says, give me your tongue. Shot calls. Devil says, bring you, come here, you on fire for God? Yeah, give me the highest bucket. Whoosh. They are nowhere to be found. That's a challenge. When I came here, I said, God, am I alone in this work? Am I alone in this city? Am I alone in this place where you've shown me people? There's a remnant of people that are going to help us. They're going to work with us. Hallelujah. I want you to trust God's word while you're still having a blessing in your life. Amen. While you have breath, health in your body, amen, trust God's word and walk in obedience to his word. Because that's only and the only thing that he wants us to do first before anything else. You know, when I was talking to my wife, I said, family, God is important to me, but my family is second. My family to me is second, not the church. I am honest and serious with you. My family is very important to me, God and my family. Ministry, I don't care too much about ministry. Because without my family and God, ministry is nothing. Without my family, without my family in order, why would I go and stand and preach people and my family's life is not in the right place? These are the things that we need to take into perspective here. Hallelujah. And I'm speaking to leaders now. I want you to receive this and think about the powerful principles that come with it. Because I have seen churches destroy people. Not the devil, the church. Listen to me carefully. The church destroy people. Because the church isn't walking in truth. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 8. It says, a highway shall be there, a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. Unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, listen to this is powerful. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. Hallelujah. This highway is the narrow road that is called Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other highway, hallelujah. There is no other name under heaven by which men are saved but the name of Jesus Christ. We walk in this road with our feet. I talked about walking before, which is our way of life. The way of life is to walk as Jesus walked, to face every issue of life as he did, to withstand every temptation and with the power of Christ. The fool is not a gullible man, nor with one diminished mental faculty, but is a man of limited knowledge and understanding. When the Bible calls you fool, you're not from the psychiatric ward. When the Bible calls you fool, it calls you fool because you don't know anything. Knowledge, ignorance. When you walk in ignorance, the Bible calls you fools. That's what the Bible is saying here. It says, a fool is not a gullible man, no one with the diminished mental faculty, but is a man of limited knowledge and understanding. And that is all of us, my friends, including me, all of us. Some of us don't have to know the Bible too much, but our faith to walk in God is the only thing that will take us across the line. I don't know the Bible too much, but when I stand up there, I'm a different person. Why? Because I trust the Holy Ghost to do the work. I don't have to go and search my Bible college notes and things that I haven't studied in Bible college. I don't have a Bible college degree. Hello, somebody. My wife says, you can't say that because people, I don't care. I'm speaking the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Whether you like it or not, if you like your pastor to be a Bible college graduate, go down the road. There's a whole lot of churches down that way. You'll find one there. Throw a stone. They're everywhere. I'm being honest and truthful with you. My wife says, they might. I said, bring it on. Persecution. Hallelujah. The fool is not somebody who is long, as we say in PNG. A fool is those that don't have knowledge of the Bible. But the Bible says, but when they walk in truth and in righteousness, God says, they will cross over. They don't have to have all this knowledge to get you. Knowledge doesn't change you, my friends. It's the passion to get to there, across the line. Get across the line. Hallelujah. I better stop you now. Every one of you looking so serious at me. I feel like Stephen right now. And they went down to grab the stone. Hallelujah. When I was driving, I said, God, I'm going to go talk to the people again. Just go and talk. Hallelujah. I said to the team, we are not here to show our certificates. I don't have any, my friends. The knowledge I have is from the Spirit. Amen. I rely so much on the Holy Spirit to do His work. Amen. That's why I pray. I'm just a voice. And, you know, I'm saying this not because I want to pump myself. I'm saying it because you can do that too. You can. You can do it too. You can do the same thing I do by relying on the Holy Spirit. Listen to this word. It says a fool. It says a fool. Let me just read that scripture again. It is so powerful. A highway shall be there, and a road it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Who are others? Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. You don't have to have a Bible college graduate degree to go astray. Or if you walk in truth of God. If you choose to walk in the truth of God. Hallelujah. That's why humility is a powerful thing inside the kingdom. That's why Jesus went down to the valley and not up in the top of the mountain. He did come up there to show his God side. But then he told everybody, shh, don't tell anybody about this. Because Peter already wanted to build a temple to worship him. Not worship him, worship Moses and Elijah. No wonder God hid Moses' body. Otherwise, we'll be all worshiping Moses right now. And where in the Bible did you tell them to worship Mary and pray to Mary? I better stop there. I better stop there. I was the one that did. You know, I used to go and confess to this priest, the local priest in our town. And he probably got tired of me because I confess the same sins every Sunday. And, you know, he's saying, surely you should have other sins that you want to confess. I said, no. I'll leave all the bad ones. I confess the good one to you. And I got tired. I said, this is ridiculous. This person will go and have a cup of tea with somebody else and tell everybody about my sin. Why should I go and tell him my sins? So I was searching for God then. Ooh, until I found Jesus. And I can just come to him openly and say, God, thank you, Lord. 1 John chapter 2, verse 46, he says, he who knows, or he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even this man knows very little of the Bible and salvation plan. As long as he obeys the voice of God, living up to all he knows to be right, he will not err or falter, but will reach home at last. That's what this word says. The I way there is for everybody, including those who don't know the word of God, but those who believe and trust God still walk. Hallelujah. You know, after I preached to you, I don't even remember what I preached to you. I go home and I say, what did I say? I had to actually go back and see what I preached. Luke chapter 13, verse 23 to 28. Says, someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He said to them, I love Jesus' answer. He says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside and knock and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you. Or where are you from again? Verse 26, then you will say, we ate and drank with you and you taught in our streets. Verse 27, but he will reply, I don't know you. Or where you come from, away from me, all you evildoers. Jesus' greatest enemies, I'll finish with, and I'm going to wrap up with this because I want to bring you some key principles of tradition that we have to destroy inside churches. Jesus' greatest enemies were not the sinners, but the religious leaders who claim to know the word of God, but are always holding on to traditions. He battled that all the way to the cross. And guess what? You and I are left with that same problem right now. Friends, that is why tradition is dangerous. Remember, tradition is a necessary product that captures and preserves truth. Tradition always captures something and preserves it as truth, but can be traded with the next generation. So if we keep tradition that brought truth, we can trade that with the next generation. We can bring our children up and tell them, this is how we do things, this is what we do things, and it becomes the goal of tradition is to preserve, to protect, and to deliver experience and establish truths from one generation to the next. Therefore, tradition is only valid when it delivers the original truth. If the tradition you have doesn't produce truth from this book, scrape it and throw it inside the bin. Yeah. Hallelujah. I mean that. Therefore, tradition is only valid when it delivers the original truth. That means the minute tradition stops delivering to you the original truth, that tradition becomes invalid. That is why you cannot take something that is unbiblical, dress it up with Christian name tags and scriptures, and validate it. Go back and check your house. Check everything you have. Check what you do. If it doesn't validate truth, get rid of it. We are going up to Pompera and Napanum. And last time we went to Napanum, first thing we do is we went house to house. And we clean out all the totems, all the idols, everything that was holding these people bondage, all the rainbow serpents and all these things. God and brought the Spirit of God inside the house. And that changed the community. Whilst the church was trying to preach tradition to them. Traditions can become a graveyard of experience. Traditions itself can become its greatest problems. The danger of tradition is when it takes the place of truth it's supposed to deliver. When tradition takes the place of truth it is supposed to deliver, the tradition is dangerous. When your tradition takes the place of the word of God and the truth, that's a dangerous tradition. Get rid of it. I mean that. Because God will hold us accountable to all these things. God is constantly having difficulties trying to separate the messenger from the message. It saddens God to see that man confused tradition with the truth it's supposed to deliver. God's greatest problem with mankind is this: man's constant tendency to make the method the message. That's what's happening in church. We're trying to use the method as the message. That is not a new problem. It is as old as the Garden of Eden. Let me read scripture here. That is powerful. Mark chapter 9, verse 1 to 8. This is my last scripture, and I'll go down and finish. Remember the time Jesus went up to the mountain? He took Peter and James and John. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up the mountain, high mountain, by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Now listen to what Peter says in verse 5, and it's a common problem with us human beings today, even in church. Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." In other words, let us build so we can come back to this spot and worship the spot. Sounds familiar? Yes. That's happening inside church right now. Hallelujah. From heaven. The Father speaking. You know, Father spoke when Jesus got baptized. He says, "This is my beloved Son." He confirmed and validated Jesus and said, "That's the Messiah." Then he spoke again, audibly. And immediately, the Bible says, immediately he spoke, and he says, while he was still speaking, this is Peter, still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then he says, "Hear him." Everybody say, "Hear him." Hear him. Not Buddha, not Mary, not all the other saints, or whatever thing that you believe in. He says, "Hear him, Jesus. He's the only one that you hear. Nobody else." Hallelujah. Not Haile Selassie and all those people that you demigods. You know, I say about those demigods, if you want to call yourself God, then you got to stop eating his food, sucking on his oxygen, eating his carrots, eating his steaks to survive and become God, because God is God. And you, all of us men want to be God, and we want to do, I'm God, and I'm this, and I got to, no. First rule of being God is stop eating everything and survive without that. Hallelujah. In other words, this is what God says. I'm going to paraphrase. He says, stop talking and listen to him. Keep your focus on him. Don't build nothing here. Listen to what the man is saying. Listen to Jesus. Listen to the message. Listen to what he's saying. In other words, God is saying it has got nothing to do with Moses or Elijah or monuments and tabernacles. It's got everything to do with my son, Jesus, full stop. That's what Papa Joe preached today. We used to worship in tabernacles. Now you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, that lives inside of you. Tradition is very vulnerable because it can become the message. God literally told the disciples, will you shut up and listen to Jesus, please? Yeah. Sometimes we talk too much and we think we know everything. Just shut up. Listen to Jesus. Peter, I think he said it to Peter in a nice way. Because the Bible says, while he was still speaking, God cuts in and says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, Peter, him." Friends, we must understand that God's continuous problem with humanity is that we keep making the method the message. The message should be about the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Denominations are products of experience that were made into doctrines. Hallelujah. I said that before. Every denomination, whether it's Baptist, Anglican, Catholic, Lutheran, whatever you are, maybe you never used to be, that is not known in heaven. None of that is known in heaven. You go up there and you say, "I'm a Catholic," God says, "You're..." You go up there and you say, I'm this AOG, FOC, KGB, CIA. God says, I don't know you people. What is that? God understands kingdom. Jesus came to establish the kingdom of God. That's why we always bring principles of the kingdom, so that we walk and understand kingdom things. Hallelujah. Heaven knows nothing about the Baptists. There's no such thing as a Lutheran in the Bible. Have you found a Lutheran in there yet? You tell God you're a Catholic, he says, I don't even know you. Seventh-day Adventist, what's that? God knows nothing about those terminologies we use to identify one another, because all of them are products of people's experience. Hello, somebody. That we adapt into doctrine and they become a tradition themselves. So stop arguing about doctrines. Go and read the Bible and believe in the Word of God and walk the kingdom principles. Hallelujah. You know, Martin Luther had a personal revelation. It was a personal revelation that Martin had. And what we have done, we have now named a whole new denomination after him. Hello, somebody. That was his experience. Named something after that. John Wesley had a personal experience with God. Wesley didn't come with a method. He had a personal baptism of the Holy Ghost fire experience with God. Wesley spoke in tongues. Wesley danced in the spirit like David. Wesley started prayer meetings and crusades all over England and America. People will be rolling over in the dust and doing crazy things before God. Not crazy things, but wonderful, joyful things. You got to do these things when you're joyful, not crazy. Jumping over chairs, that's crazy. Man have introduced their own concepts into church to form a doctrine that is a blend of truth and error. These standing traditions have now become accepted as facts because the masses have blindly accepted man's judgment. Let me finish with this scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. It says, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgment which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Hallelujah. Those who are part of Christ's church will obey the instructions of God and the faith of Jesus. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. They will have no path or part of the worship system that is not laid out in the Bible, for the Bible is our guide and counselor, light for every day of our life. We obey God rather than men. When you have to choose, my friends, when it comes to the day, you have to choose. Choose God. Obey God. Hallelujah. Amen. Why am I bringing this stuff to you? Because we are in the season now. This is, you know, some of us are going to see some really amazing things that are going to happen. But we are in the middle of it. That's why we have to bring truth to the people so we are prepared for. This is the way God is placing his seal upon the foreheads of this faithful people, his church. If you have the Holy Ghost living inside of you, that's the mark of God upon your life. Nothing can remove that. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, let's all stand. I want to pray and we close. Papa God, I thank you for your word. Thank you that what you have, Lord, wanted me to deliver has been delivered this morning. I thank you that your people are people that are able to receive and to, Lord, not only just receive and abide, but to walk in every precept, every word. Lord, let our characters match our works, match our words. What we speak, let it be matched with our character, which is the character of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, you said, Paul said, imitate Christ. Father, I pray that our people can say that. We can proudly and faithfully and passionately say, imitate me because I imitate Christ. Imitate me because I walk in the principles of your word. Father, I thank you. If Paul can be so straight and so honest to speak like that, knowing that he does walk in truth, Father, I pray that we have this same spirit, same passion to be able to say these things, oh God. That the words of truth, when it comes, it will hurt a little, but it will correct and restore our lives. Father, I pray that you get rid of all pride and bring humility into this church. Bring humility into each and every man, every woman and children, so that we can walk humbly before you. Papa God, I'm praying for you. Because there is no other God. You know, not a God I'm also you. There is no other God. You are the only God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When you spoke to your people, you always say, I am the God of your fathers. You are our God. And I thank you for your word, O God. Your word that you have given us. That will last forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will last forever and ever. We still got it. We are so privileged to have your word. There are many countries that are persecuted. They don't even have a page of the Bible. Father, I thank you that I pray that your people will see this and understand that we must now start to operate, walk in truth. From every tiny mundane things in our life, it has to align with the word of God. Father, I thank you. I pray that you continue to reveal to us things that are not of you, things that we may have missed, things that we may have taken for granted. Father, that we will always walk in a place that we please you, that we use our will to do your will on this earth. Hallelujah. I pray. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord toward you and give you peace. Shalom, peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything restored, made whole, well, and complete. In Yeshua's mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. Family and friends, if you have other prayer requests that you want, the altar is still open. Come and see us and we can pray with you. Hallelujah.